been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It is the big Fed decision that the market is on pins and needles about here today. And it's probably not going to do much until about 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. We got the Dow up 60 and we got the NASDAQ down 24. That's what we call a split decision. And in this corner, S&P 500 is down a quarter of a point. So two out of the three indexes down so far today. The S&P is threatening to break below 5,000 again. It's clear down to 5,023. The NASDAQ is now about 4% below its all-time high. It's holding support, but I would say it's a pretty weak chart. The Dow, ditto. Pretty weak chart, and they do have, just from a technical point of view, easily have another 4 or 5% downside risk right here. Crude oil is down a dollar. That's not good. 80.93, that is a barometer of the global economy. Gold is up $8.50 to $2,311. The 10-year is actually backing off a little bit in front of the big Fed decision today. It's at 4.65. It's down 3 basis points. And what I look to as a risk barometer and a sentiment barometer for the market of risk on, risk off, Bitcoin is down $3,600 today, clear down to $57,316. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only firm with clients clear up to the North Pole and clear down to the tip of Florida and every place in between. We have a lot of fun talking with folks, meeting new folks, and of course Minnesota is going to be our next road trip. And I'm looking forward to that. Well, let's just take a look at the current state of the market here. Today's a big Fed day, Barry. You're all ready for that?
I'm buckled in. Okay. Like I said, you gave the right time. Just go ahead and tighten up your seatbelt.
Yeah.
Around two thirty. Decision's coming on two. I think we know what the decision is. No change, but the press conference will determine. We'll just watch the bouncing ball of the market while he's speaking.
Yeah, I can't see where much has changed between the last Fed decision was just a few weeks ago. I can't see much change in the inflation picture, etc. Interest rates have been trickling higher. I look to Bitcoin as a good indicator of sentiment, risk on, risk off. There's definitely a risk off sentiment right now in the market. Bitcoin is now under 58,000. It's down in the 57,000s for the first time in a long time. That means risk off. The Dow right now is down 5.2% from its recent top. And it's vulnerable down. I'd also say that resistance now, once the Dow broke below its 50-day moving average, that now becomes resistance. And it's losing that battle with the 50-day moving average. The 200-day moving average would be the next stop, technically. That's about 4.5% down from where we're at now. And that would make for a 10% correction. That's kind of a scenario that I see happening. I don't see a bear market, but we got overheated on the market. We got a little bit ahead of ourselves on the inflation picture and on those rate cuts, and the market had to take some of that excess out. And of course, some areas of the market have been hit harder than others. And we did obviously take quite a bit of risk off the table here over the last several weeks, selling all of our AMD several weeks ago, selling all of our Tesla several months ago, selling all of our Apple late last year. and lightening up some exposure to the more aggressive stuff. We had some big long-term capital gains, just like a lot of other investors. And there comes a time when you have to take a little bit of that harvest and also put in a little bit of risk management. The S&P has resumed its number four downtrend. It's not in an uptrend anymore. It's in a correction trend. Its 50-day moving average has now become resistance. It's fighting that battle and losing. The next support level would be the 200-day moving average, cleared down at 4,700. That's 6.7% below where we are now. The S&P is now down 4.4% from its recent high. And we continue to have some inverse hedges in place against the Dow, against the S&P 500, and against the NASDAQ, which the NASDAQ is fighting with its resistance level also, its 50-day moving average. Keeps bumping its head on there and going, ouch, and falling back. And the 200-day moving average is cleared down at 14,600, which is not an unlikely scenario. That would be a 6.8% drop from where we are now, and that's why we have those hedges in place right now. Well, it was a busy night of earnings yesterday. It began right after the market closed. You know, you get done with a long day watching the market, Barry, and then the market closes, and you think your work is over. No. Then here comes earnings from Amazon. Here comes earnings from
all
AMD.
Those alerts keep popping in at after 4 o'clock yesterday, didn't they? I'm sure
Starbucks,
your phone was vibrating left and right.
Super microcomputer and on and on and on.
AMD,
and on and on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to go over each one of those because that is critical to the future of the bull market that began in 2009. Okay, it's all you got to do. Is connect the dots between March of 2009 on any one of the three indexes and where we're at today, and you will see an uptrend, okay? That is the very definition of a bull market. It's a market that's trending upwards. And right now we're in a little secondary correction within that uptrend. And, well, as of now, I mean, things obviously could deteriorate, but the earnings season is pretty much, I think, in line with what we were expecting so far. No big real surprises to the downside other than a few like Meta. Meta would be the one that kind of stands out as a big miss. And we've had some very important earnings come in here since we last talked yesterday. So anyways, we got a lot to talk about today. It is a very active market. It's not passive by any stretch of the imagination. And we continue to be and always will be a more active firm as opposed to just the asset allocation buy and hold strategy.
Or a calendar-based strategy where
yeah,
15th of the month we do this.
Right, based on your age. There's a lot more to it than your age, I think. That's pretty simplistic to base a portfolio only on your age. But that's the easy way of doing things, and I've never been one to take the easy way out. It involves a lot more work to do more than that. And, you know, I couldn't do it any other way. Now, the Dow was down 570 yesterday. That's what we're coming off of. The NASDAQ was down 325 yesterday. I would say it was mostly interest rate driven as interest rates drifted higher. There's also a little bit of that sell in May and go away mentality, Barry. And if I'm not mistaken, isn't this the first day of May?
Yeah. Yeah, today is May 1st, right? So.
And then I think maybe they were placing their bets yesterday on what the Fed will do and some of the – but we did have a good day. Lilly had a huge day yesterday. QSR had a good day. Someone told me that Patrick Doyle was on with Cramer last night. I would have liked to have seen that. I missed that. He's the – one of the main turnaround guys there at QSR.
Yeah, I'll have to find that. I'll have to find that video. Not something I'm not a show that I'm watching.
I don't watch
on a daily basis.
Once in a while, I'll stumble on him while I'm flipping through to the MLB channel. Inverse Funds did well yesterday. And, of course, we ended the month with a 4% drop in April. And that's about where we're all at as money managers, you know. Nobody's going to get out right at the top. We took a lot of defensive action. I think you can go back and look at my newsletters when I said leveling off. I don't know when that was, 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago. It was obvious to me that the market was going from an uptrend, the long uptrend since last October, into a flattening out, topping out trend. And now we've had it since then not only top out but start to roll over, and we're currently in a corrective trend. More on that when we come back. This is the Best Stocks Now show. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. I just want to go back to April just for a minute. As we close out April, and we broke the win streak, okay? We had 5 months in a row, and we had a down month. So that's the very definition of a leveling off in the market, which we saw quite some time. I think we saw it before April started. And then not only a leveling off, but a rolling over into a corrective trend. We got too expensive on the market, in my opinion. We got a forward PE up around 22. And from a technical point of view, we were definitely overblown. So now there's four big events in April that we got to just review real quickly. We had a labor market that continued to remain stubbornly resilient to the Fed's aggressive monetary tightening, and that came up in the payroll reports for the month of March. Okay, and that is that led to the consumer price index, the CPI, in the second week of this past month, which came in hotter than expected. Last week we saw a real major reality check in the form of U.S. Q1 GDP report. Remember that one? That was not good. 1.6%, that's a shock. We kind of forget
that
these things.
That was the stagflation potentially.
Absolutely.
Report, right? That's the narrative that occurred after that.
And I'm seeing in the market, I'm seeing a lot of signs of stocks that are dependent upon a strong economy have really softened, because there is worry out there that the economy is slowing down. Now, that soft landing scenario still looks pretty likely, but where will we be by the time they start cutting rates? You know, will we be down to a GDP of just over 0%? So the trick is the two, you know, you got to thread the needle between a slowing economy and persistent inflation, all right? And that's what we're worried about right now. The two of those equal stagflation. And then, of course, we had that one that you caught last week, Barry, or maybe it was earlier this week, the employment cost index.
Yeah, that employment cost index, which actually was yesterday. Time flies. But, the came in wages, which has been the stickiest. I mean, as we've been watching this inflation picture for, you know, it seems a couple of years now, we know that, you know, wages are usually pretty sticky, and so are rents.
Yes.
Housing.
And then we got that private sector employment report, and it's still strong at 192K, right, which we were expecting 175. So that tells me that this Friday is the non-farm payrolls report, something else we have to look forward to.
Yeah, I didn't even see the ADP number yet this morning. I was on a call, but the
I saw it. That's it. It came in at 192,000, which exceeds the 175.
Yeah,
and so that also remains very, very strong. And all of this will be. And you say, well, what does that have to do with my 401k or my IRA or my Roth? Everything. All of these factors together. Have everything to do. Now, today, like we said, 2:30 p.m., That's going to be the big one, and then the press conference. Okay, and then tonight we get earnings from Qualcomm, Devon Energy, First Solar. Certainly not as big a night tonight. I would say most of the big ones have now reported. Apple is still on tap, I think, for tomorrow. Okay, now we start talking about companies. J&J's proposed $6 billion talc settlement. That sounds like at least they have that put behind them, but it's going to have a negative effect on the company's recently released results. Okay, so Johnson & Johnson, you just have to say, besides not returning anything over the years, there's been a lot of missteps. Not a lot of new products, etc. Okay, now here's a shot over the bow at Boeing. I don't know if you saw this news, but Embraer, which is Brazil, is weighing how to make a plane to rival Boeing's best-selling 737 and Airbus's A320. I mean, those are most of the planes you fly on when you take a flight here around the country. And those two have a lock. I mean, they have no competition. But Embraer, which, you know, is a pretty big aircraft manufacturer down in Brazil, they are looking at becoming a competitor to Boeing and Airbus. And let's not forget that China is also trying to ramp up to make their own plane. So that's a shot over the bow big time. At Boeing and also at Airbus.
And I saw a day or two ago, I believe it was about a $10 billion note that debt issue that Boeing actually was able to float and get
what were the terms on
issued.
That?
It was, I'll find it for you.
Five and three quarter, somewhere up in there?
Yeah, I want to say it was around $10 billion They raised $10 billion in debt sale amid cash burn.
That was
news that came out 2 days ago. So they're only slightly above junk status at the moment. I think on that note they assigned a BBB-, which is that the S&P, which is right on the cusp of junk status, which is. You know, that go back to your article, Bill, that you wrote. The Boeing bottom coming out of COVID. It was late. I think you wrote it late March of 2020.
Yep.
And you know, we've got lots of folks, and you got lots of folks in your neighborhood who work there. But you think there's nothing more American, right? Than Boeing, and it's kind of. A bit rough when you look at the potential junk status for a company like that.
But. Yeah, the same as the U.S. Debt. You know, it's nearing junk status too, with all the debt. Okay, Amazon is having a good day. Amazon is up 2.9%. Strong AWS results, and I also read that Amazon is all in with AI. Okay. Their sales guidance, however, disappointed a little bit. They got to be feeling some competition from Temu, from China. But, you know, they have that strong position. They're really quite a big player in artificial intelligence. Over the last 10 years, Amazon's been a good investment, 26% per year return average. While the S&P 16.8, over the last 12 months, Amazon is up 70%, while the S&P is up 21%. Amazon continues to be one of our biggest holdings. My only regret in their earnings report is they didn't say, we're going to start paying a dividend. Because then I could buy it in the dividend portfolio, too. But they do not pay a dividend. And so we only own it in our growth portfolios. They've never paid a dividend. The Seattle company, good report, big earnings growth. Their quarter, their earnings were up 216%, and their sales were up 13%. Still a dominant player and a great stock to own. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Back to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. We're kind of all quiet on the Eastern Front right now with the Dow up 60, the NASDAQ down 20, waiting for Chairman Powell, the S&P down 11. Bitcoin getting hammered today. Bitcoin is down 3,504. So much for the halving event. I mean, ever since it's been halved, it's getting half, 57,410. It hit a high of 73,000 lately. I look at it as a risk-on, risk-off barometer.
Yeah, I liked your note on that you sent out.
It's a good, it's one of the indicators, and right now the market's definitely in a risk-off corrective mode right now. Now, okay.
Which is weird. And to add to that, earlier, I think there was the very beginning of this week, I believe it was Hong Kong that approved, a Bitcoin spot, Bitcoin ETF there. So you would, you had kind of a run-up whenever that happened here, so you would have expected that could give a little bit of a boost right to Bitcoin, and it certainly hasn't happened. I think it's lost about $10,000 since that announcement earlier this week.
I'm thinking that all the demand has dried up. All of those ETFs, those buckets have been filled, and there's just not a lot of appetite for more Bitcoin. Everybody that wants to own it probably owns it by now. And when that demand starts to dry up, it is a supply-demand equation. That's just my own theory. And I think when you get into a risk-off kind of mood, that's one of the highest risk assets you can own.
Right.
Is Bitcoin. Okay.
Gold's been a little soft too, and that's primarily probably rate driven.
And gold got ahead of itself, but gold is also a risk on greed. When the gold bug starts seeing gold rolling and hitting new all-time highs, soon that demand dries up for gold too, right?
Once you start seeing those the sign flippers right in front of the gold places, buy your gold. Once that kind of peaks, right, you kind of go through that this cycle doldrums
yes.
for a bit and perks back up at some point.
Okay, now let's go to a story from Sarasota. While we were there, I've said it before, when I go on a trip, it almost seems like we get a rocky market for a day or two or while I'm on that trip. Now, keep in mind that I watch the markets from the time they open till the time they close, even when I'm on the road, okay? It's not like I can turn it over to anybody here. Barry helps watch the market, but that ultimate decision
also in the
is up to me.
And also in the meeting with you. We're also sitting there together.
So I have a laptop in the meeting with the market up while Barry and I talk to the folks, and I'm intently listening to everybody and doing a lot of talking myself. But I would say while I was there, I don't know what day it was, Wednesday or Thursday. Well, that Friday, NVIDIA was down
Wednesday.
10%.
I'm pretty sure it was Wednesday that was kind of a rocky road.
Yeah,
it's the day that we parted ways with AMD.
Yes, and I said, you know what? I don't like AMD. I don't like the way it's trading. And I had a big position. That's one of our biggest positions. Not only did we have a big position in AMD, we had a big profit in AMD, okay?
And at that point, it was in two of our portfolios, Premier Growth and Ultra Growth. So
AMD, we sold on April 17th, so that's exactly 2 weeks ago, so it must have been a Wednesday, for an 85% profit. Okay, I was done. It was a long-term capital gain. I'm worried about AMD's growth. and I didn't like the way it was trading. And now, whether I'm right or wrong, we sold it at 156.93. And today it's at 147.80. I was worried. Look at their last four quarters, okay? We talk about double-digit earnings growth and whatnot. Their last four quarters of sales growth has been minus 18%, plus 4%, plus 10%. We thought maybe they had some momentum going, and now they're back to the quarter they just reported. Their sales were only up 2%.
And the PC and automotive side have been likely the slower pieces of that business.
And in my opinion, it does not deserve a PE ratio of 65 where it was at when I sold it with that kind of anemic growth. Now, they're hoping that at some point AI kicks in and they get back to 15-20% growth. But right now, the next 5 years, I don't know what kind of growth. I'm using like 10%. Being very conservative on it, while the street is using like 23%. I don't know how you get to that. That's what the street is using. Let me just make sure on that. If you go to the consensus analyst estimate for growth for AMD over the next 5 years, they're looking for compound annual growth actually of 25% per year. How is that going to happen? Just from a mathematical standpoint, you've had four single-digit growth rates in a row. So I'm way down at 15% is where I'm at.
Yeah, you'd have to, I mean, you'd have to certainly extrapolate a recovery on the PC side. Also, you know, there's a lot of chips that are...
And a big hit with the AI, right?
Yeah, and also, I mean, they make chips for, you know, on the gaming console side, they make chips for... a lot of chips for electric vehicle exposure, which has been a softer area of the market as well. So yeah, they're more broad based than a pure NVIDIA play.
Now, if you look at the last 5 years, they've been growing at 57% per year. Okay, because they took over the PC market and they passed Intel like they were standing still. But, I mean, it got to 227, it's really richly priced, and the growth starts slowing down, so I parted ways for a nice profit. Yes, I may buy it back at some point in time, but right now it is down 7% after reporting earnings yesterday, last night, after the close, that were in line. And in line's not going to cut it when you have a huge multiple like that. So anyways, I can't say Bill was right again yet, but it is down $10 a share. And speaking of down, Super Microcomputer, which is a wild thing, okay? Listen to their sales. Their sales were up 200%. That means their sales tripled versus the same quarter last year. Their earnings quadrupled, okay? Up 308%. And that's not good enough for the street right now. The stock's down 16%, but it's a wild thing. And I'm just saying it's one of the fastest growth stocks out there in the business right now. But when you've got a little bit of risk off in the market with Bitcoin indicated by and a little bit of stubborn interest rates, which affects that multiple, Super Micro's down 16%. It is holding its support level, so I've just decided not to do anything with it. Another stock to talk about here, Starbucks has really fallen from its perch. Okay, this just goes to show you the lifespan of a company. You cannot maintain dominant growth forever. Eventually, it catches up with you. And Starbucks is now negative 8% growth in earnings, negative 2% in earnings. The stock is down 16.2%. It's way off its all-time high at 126. We don't own Starbucks. It's at 74. And over the last 5 years, it's delivered to investors 2.8% per year. And an expensive cup of caffeine, I suppose. It's not cheap.
Well, yeah, the price of coffee has been going up. Also, you need to check out, we don't get enough time to hit it right here before the hard break, but look at their This is something that's going to be a narrative for everyone. Look at their China sales. Their Chinese sales really dropped off the map. Is that something intentional from China? Is that because it's an American brand and they're, you know, turning away from that?
Well, they have strong competition in China, too, with that company that I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, the one, yeah.
Had the accounting issues.
Yeah, and then they, I'll get their name in a second.
But let me just say that Starbucks is another one that is overly owned because everybody knows the company. Most people use their products all the time. And you go to the big wirehouses and ask for a portfolio. I'm sure Fisher was one that owned Starbucks. It's a big favorite of the Wall Street crowd because it's a recognizable brand, but it's down 19% over the last 12 months while the market's up 21. That's a difference of 4,000 basis points. What I don't see Starbucks as a good investment at all. It hasn't been for a long, long time, yet Wall Street loves it. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. One more stock I want to just go over their track record. Pfizer. Here's Pfizer's sales growth over the last four quarters. Minus 54%, minus 42%, minus 41%, minus 20%. Yeah, maybe you could say, well, they're up against those numbers from the COVID vaccine, but that's pretty dismal. Their earnings last four quarters, minus 67%, minus 110%, minus 90%, minus 33%. Now, if you're a deep, deep value investor, contrarian, and if you think Pfizer's going to make a big comeback and find some new drugs and get them in their pipeline, I mean, look, it's got a P.E. ratio right now of 18. The forward P.E. ratio is, forward P.E. is 11. So this is a value investor's dream, I suppose, but I'm not a contrarian investor. The yield is 6.4%. I see this as a stock in trouble. That's what I see. Look at the performance, even with all the money they made from COVID over the last 10 years, and a lot of people do not like Pfizer, obviously. There's been some controversy there at Pfizer. Alberto, what's his name? The CEO, Alberto something. The performance of Pfizer over the last 10 years, minus 1.3% per year. Over the last 5 years, minus 7.3%. The last 3 years, minus... The reason I bring this up...
Borla is the name of it, B-O-U-R-L-A.
And over the last 12 months, stock's down 35%. So if you're driving around out there and, you know, you're looking at your portfolio, gosh, I own Starbucks, I own Pfizer, I own all these stocks. I didn't know they've been performing that badly, and they're such dogs. Well, I'm just bringing it to your attention. Well, that was one of the big ambitions I had behind the app. One of the goals I had was to let people know, here it is, simple. It's simple. Here's what your stock has done. Here's what the S&P has done. Compare the two. And, you know, it's a real eye-opener on the stocks that have consistently outperformed the market and the stocks that have just been horrible performers. So many big names, household names, that have just been absolute duds. And it's up to you if you want to own a bunch of duds in your portfolio. If you would rather own companies that are more in the prime of their life versus has-beens, right?
And we talk about this all the time. It's, you know, we want our clients to be compensated for the amount of risk they're taking. And when you, you know, if you're... you know, if you're, you know, it didn't matter if your portfolio is filled with great stocks or awful ones, you know, if you're filled with awful ones, you're still taking that market risk, right? You're still in equities. You know, you just might, you know, if you want to be, but you might as well be compensated for the amount of risk you're taking. So,
yeah. Okay. Now, all right, let's take a look at today's S&P 500. Let's look underneath the surface a little bit. The biggest losers, a lot of these stocks we've been naming here. Liggett and Platt is down 32% today. That's a tobacco stock, if I'm not mistaken. No. That's the home furniture, commercial fixtures, blah, blah, blah. It's down 32% here. Wow, what happened there? CVS, another dud. CVS is down 20% right now. And, of course, Walgreens was recently kicked out of the Dow. You've got Starbucks down 16%. It's losing one-sixth of its value just like that in one day, 16.5%. Supermicro's down 15.3%. Skyworks, this is not a good omen for Apple's earnings tomorrow. Skyworks makes a lot of the innards of that Apple iPhone, a lot of the chips. Skyworks is down 14.5%. Norwegian Cruise Lines is down 12%. Not a good day here when you look underneath the surface of the market. And, of course, you've got AMD down 7.2% today. Now, on the upside, let's see if there's anything of note. DuPont, okay, 8.4%. Johnson & Johnson up 3.7%. There you go, because they got their troubles behind them, I guess. With the big settlement on the talc cancer. And you've got the 3M up 3%. Amazon's up 2.9%. And Pfizer is up 2.6%. Those are your winners. Now let's look inside the NASDAQ today, which is pretty quiet today. You've got Amazon is the only one of note that I see in some of the Chinese stocks. On the downside there in the NASDAQ, Starbucks, member of the NASDAQ, down 16.5%. Kraft Heinz, another big dud, believe it or not, in the NASDAQ, down 6.8%. AMD down 7.2% right now. NVIDIA down 3%. So it's definitely a risk-off move, risk-off sentiment, risk-off in the market here today. And it's awaiting the big news later today, 2:30 p.m. Not so much what the Fed is going to do, which will be to leave rates unchanged. Now, wouldn't that be something if they came along and did a rate hike?
Well, and that's kind of the downside risk of today is how much, you know, if at all, right, is he going to, you know, essentially say, hey, if we need to, we're happy to raise rates again, right, or whatever, right?
It's he actually did a rate hike? Said, well, we're raising. Yeah. He wouldn't be the Fed chairman, I know, for the next presidential term either way, no matter who's elected. So I don't think he would do that, but, you know, there's always that outside chance.
Could do that. I mean, historically, right? He'd do that, and you know, which was done kind of in the the Bush Clinton, the Bill Clinton, and
right,
and Dad Bush, basically, essentially put the U.S. into a recession just before the election. Likely, him doing that, right, would actually benefit the Republican.
Yes. Well, okay. So we'll see if any politics take place today. We're expecting no change and a fairly dovish outlook. But at the same time, a warning shot across the bow. We don't have inflation under control yet. All right. Okay. If you own the duds of the Dow, look, give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Download the app. You check your own stocks. I don't need to tell you. Math is math. Numbers are numbers. If you'd like to have a portfolio review, 855-611-BEST. If you'd like to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
The This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.